Hello, my dear brethren. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ, being become an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serving the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of course after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without the blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and in hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that looketh for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our great God of heaven, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer. Lord, we invite you to walk in the midst of us. We ask for thy presence to fill the place, to fill the hearts, to fill the vessels, to fill our minds, to fill our ears, to fill our thoughts, to fill our intents, to fill our all as a whole of God's creation. Father in heaven, the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. There is a freedom in Christ, and that freedom is a prison. And in that prison, O Lord, we are called to be shielded, sealed by the power of the Spirit. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing, O Lord. Lord, we pray, may you anoint this place with the power of thy anointing. There is victory. With the power of thy anointing, there is restoration. With the power of thy anointing, there is revival. With the power of thy anointing, there is, O Lord, healing, deliverance, redemption, perfection. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we surrender the vessels that are standing here for thy glory. May you put thy Spirit in all of us. May you fill our cup, that we will overflow with the abundance, that we will serve thee, O Lord. Touch us, Lord. Grant us strength. Without you, we can't make a single step forward. And we don't want to make a single step forward without you, Lord. May you lead us by thy presence. May you lead us by the Spirit. And may you fill all of us with the power of the Holy Spirit today. Because, O Lord, today is the day the Lord has made. And we rejoice and be glad in it. In all things we give thanks. For this is the will of the Lord concerning in all our lives. For the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. We give thanks for all things in our life. We give thanks for all the failures. We give thanks for all the pain, suffering. We give thanks for all things happened in our life. Because, O Lord, all those things could not stop us from worshiping Thee. All those things could not stop us from praising Thee. And all those things, O Lord, can never stop God's children being God's children in Jesus' name. Lord, as we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, Lord, may you speak to our hearts. May you touch us, O Lord. May you, Lord, make us to live a life that is pleasing to thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you put on the clothing of service upon all of us as we are united by the unity of spirit, the unity of faith. Lord, we pray, may you help us to put on Christ. Because without putting on Christ, no one can enter the Holy of Holies. Without putting on Jesus Christ upon our lives, to look like him, to speak like him, to walk like him, and to serve like him, and to love like him, no one can enter the tabernacle of God. For the glory of the Lord is not for everyone. And for the Lord saith, I am the Lord, I will not yield my glory to anyone. Lord, we pray, you granted us the salvation. You gave us the name above all names. For exceedingly great reward, Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, may you fill all of us today. Help us to throw away the sandals far away from the coat. Help us to, Lord, take off the filthy garments and throw it and burn it by the power of Holy Spirit. I pray and I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, may all the memories of the past will be forgotten as of today in Jesus' name. May the pain and burdens and hurt of all the past, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, may you cut that branch off and burn it in fire, O Lord. For we are called to live today, not to worry about yesterday, not to worry about tomorrow, but to live today, the present, the salvation is now. Our Lord, our High Priest, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, we ask for thy presence to fill the place. And I pray, come what may, whatever the obstacles, whatever the problems, whatever the storms, whatever the challenges, and we say, we come in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen. Amen. Shalom, my brethren, you be all seated. Please bear with me with my voice. I pray the Lord help me to finish the sermon. If the audio is not clear, I can use the mic. Praise the Lord. I have some throat infection. We thank the Lord. No cold, no cough, but my throat is infected. As we continue, keep me in your prayers. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Brother Clement, read it for us. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 9, from verse 9 to verse 25.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 to 25. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we will have sanctified through the offerings of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected those forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses for us. For after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. For where there is remission of this, of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, hold boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching."
Amen. Verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ." Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for the new place, but that doesn't mean that our life is going to change. Correct. We thank the Lord for a change from one place to another, but that doesn't mean that we are going to be good Christians. We are going to be good people. There is a place, where Jesus Christ meets you, where you meet Jesus. Amen. And the scripture says, "Enter into the holiest." Not by your fervent service, not by who you are, not by what you did. It doesn't matter. There is only one garment, one way of washing that can give you the key to unlock the tabernacle and to go inside and meet the Creator for whom you are created. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ by a new covenant, new spirit, new man, new life, new season, but it is new. Today, the Lord's mercies are fresh and new. Can we hold on to the old miracles, old blessings? God would say, my mercy is new today. By a new living way. Read the verse again, brother. Verse 20. And 21. And 22.
Hebrews 10. Verse 20 to 22. By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience.
Amen.
And our bodies washed with pure water.
Amen. Hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So what the Lord is concerned about? Your intents, your thoughts, your desires, what you want to achieve, what you want to become, why you are serving me, why you are praising me, and why you love me. We can cheat the whole world, but you can't cheat him. You can cheat all your loved ones, you can cheat the whole world, but you can't cheat him. The Lord says, I will look into the intents and the thoughts and the conscience of why you are serving me. I pray the Lord answers the question in our heart. And I pray that you all ask the question in your heart, why you serve the Lord. To feel good, that you are a good man, a good woman. To feel better, there are bad people around, I am not the bad people. To feel more powerful because the name of the Lord is given to you. To feel precious because you have the exceedingly great reward. Is that why God saved us? Is that why God gave the ministry to us? Is that why the Lord kept you, protected you from all the dangers of the devil, the wickedness of the high places? Is that why he is watching over you just for you to feel better, feel good? Does it matter in the heavenly kingdom? What is the new place? The bricks? The curtains? The chairs? No. Until we people drink into the new covenant, embrace the new man, make sure that we don't lose the new garments, and remain new and fresh every day, for today is the day, the Lord would say, it's a old church, old bricks, old curtains, old people, old thoughts, old memories, not in terms of age, but in terms of no change. No one can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We may be all seated in the chairs, but if the Lord wants to descend in the midst of us, walk in the midst of us, those who are listening, those who humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, you can be seated in the heavenly places. You wouldn't know. Nobody can see. Not all 51 chairs are seated in heavenly places. Those who believe, those who obey, those who trust, those who desire, those who have the hunger and thirst, and those who are close to God's presence with a contrite spirit, a broken heart, doesn't mean that you are a weak person. If you don't remember your sin, you would never have the broken heart. I don't want to forget my sin. The Lord forgets. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you forget your sin, you are not the Savior. You are not the judge. You are not the Almighty. Not to remember the sin to feel guilty. Not to remember the sin to feel self-loathing. But to remember from which valley he delivered you. How deep you are struggling. How deep you are sinful. And that hand delivered you. If you say, I'm a new man, the Lord is in me, I'm a wonderful son and daughter of God, praise the Lord, I forget all my sins, I remember nothing, mark my word, you will become bright within a few days. You will be full of pride because you will feel, I am special because I am a God's child. Purification of minds by the way of remembrance. The Bible says, purification of minds by the way of remembrance. You know how it works? All of you, you have committed something shameful in your lives. Correct? I hope no one denies that. I hope, I'm not speaking to anyone who fell from heaven. We were all born on the earth. God is in heaven, we are on the earth. So, just take a moment and think the worst sinful, shameful thing that you committed, only the Lord knows. Or the words that you spoke and hurt your loved ones, only the Lord knows. You don't have to tell anyone. Amen? Church is not a place for us to be socializing. But when you remember, you would feel humiliation, right? You would feel, Lord, me, you touched me. This filthy man, this filthy woman, you touched me. You came and knocked the door of Rahab, me the harlot, and you blessed the two spies to come and find shelter in my house, me. If we don't have such a humility, such a humble thought, you would think you are the David who got the highest position in that palace to see the beautiful bathing of Bathsheba. But if you think, Lord, I am the poor woman who stood outside the temple and had two mites and I threw it because that's all I got. Which one you would choose? King David or that woman? When King David left from his position, being the servant of God, shepherd of God, child of God, when he embraced King David of King of Israel, in this earth he fell. As long as he was standing as a servant of God, child of God, shepherd of God, nothing could bring him down. But the moment that he embraced, I am a king, everybody bows to me. The whole country listens to me. No one can stop me. That is the puffed up vulnerability of not remembering your sins, of not remembering your past, of not remembering how weak you were. Why I'm taking all of this? My brethren, no revival if there is no repentance. Forget about it. And what is repentance? Remembering the Lord's goodness in your life, remembering the Lord's mercy in your lives, by realizing what kind of person you were many years ago and how come you changed as of today. If you say, today is the day the Lord has made, I rejoice and be glad in it. If you just use the same scripture to forget about all your past, you would never know from where you came. That prodigal son who entered into the father's house, if he forget the swine food, if he forget the time that he spent outside the father's house, if he thinks it's all the Lord's work, the Lord would think, you mean I feed you with the food of swine? Is that the father you serve? Was it the Lord's work? Can we say everything works together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to purpose? I use the scripture, so all the mistakes I did in my past, God allowed this. It's a lie. It's a lie. God would never force his children to do something that profanes his name. He can't. He's righteous. But he also won't go against your will. He can't because he's righteous. So whatever that you committed because of your free will, because you wanted this to happen, and whatever happened in your life, if you think God allowed this, I say from the scripture, no. I say from the altar, no. But God made things right because you surrendered. God made things right because you stood up and you thought, what am I doing? Why am I here? I should go back to my father's house and he will receive me. You had some faith. Do you think it is yours? Do you think that faith that came out of nowhere, does it belong to you? Do you know what does it mean? That seed cracked and the seed manifested and you come back to senses, I'm a seed of God. I'm part of the world. What is the first step? Repentance. He cried, but he did not wait. He stood up and he ran to the father's house. But you know what? He had no strength to reach the place. That is why the scripture says, the Father saw him afar off, he ran to him. Amen. He ran to him. The scripture says he ran to him, hugged him, kissed him on the neck, and told him, welcome home. What was the first thing he did? He changed his garment. Because the garments the son found outside the house is not allowed to come inside the house. The sandal Moses was wearing outside the holy presence, God told him, take thy sandals off. Come in. If Moses say, I'm not doing it, forget about it. That burning bush would remain as a burning bush without being burnt. But that Moses, who was not a burning bush, would have been burnt to death. Happened. The two sons of Aaron. Holy presence of God. Not the literal fire coming from heaven like Sodom and Gomorrah. But there is spiritual fire. The Lord can consume your flesh and make you to become a lighthouse. There is also a brimstone fire. The Lord can hide your eyes and let you to continue in the sickness. That is you burning to death. You may think I'm healthy. I'm healthy. No financial problems. No physical problems. I'm perfectly fine. My family loves me. I have a good job. Everything is fine. My brethren, you are burning to death without God. You may live 120 years. But who cares? Since Garden of Eden, we are 6,200 years, 6,023 years plus going on. Your 100 years in a span of God's work for 6,000 years after the Garden of Eden is nothing, is a dot. What my 120 years of life can bring forth the Lord, that's what matters. A 12-year-old boy can bring fruits to the Lord which a 120-year-old man or woman could not bring. Correct? Teach us to number our days. Today is the day the Lord has made, because today you can do something for the Lord and the Lord would etch it in eternity. Correct? So, if we say, Lord, we bless the new place, I pray, let's all focus on ourselves today. The place is new. I can give you the guarantee. We made sure it's a new renovated place. But there is one builder who can renovate your house. And that is the focus of our today's sermon. Man, whatever by the hands of man the tabernacle made, God doesn't take any pressure in that. But who made you? Who created you? I am fearfully, wonderfully, marvelously made in the womb of my mother. Which mother? He had purposed you in his mind. Amen? So that God, a builder, sees the house, tabernacle, temple, house. And he says, why, what happened? Why there are so many damages? Who can rebuild you? Who is the repairer of the breach? Him. Who is the restorer of path? Him. Who is the builder of walls? Him. Who is the builder of mansions? Him. He is also builder. And he has one more name. Breaker of the chains. You know, my left hand, my right hand. But the Lord says, hold on to unity of faith. Praise the Lord. Hold on to unity of spirit. Praise the Lord. Then what? Be chained by my agape love. The bond of perfectness. Bond of perfectness. Chain. He also chained you. There's a chain as we speak. There's a chain in all our lives spiritually. I mean, we are bound. That is why we are called the prisoner of Christ. He put a chain on you by his love. On Calvary, you are arrested lifetime. He's like a police officer came to the Calvary, sacrificed himself, and he told all of us, you are fooled, you know. All my sins, all my past, from now on, you are under arrest for a lifetime, forever. Why? You will go to the prison. You will go inside of him. But now, which is the holiest place we are talking about? This church? This place? If I come here with unholy thoughts, single-handedly, I can make the Lord to leave the place. Correct? God is light. In him there is no darkness. If I profane the name, if the place is not sanctified, not consecrated, how the Lord can walk in the midst of us? So what is the holiest place? This piece of wood? Or this chair? Or the Bible?
or the anointing oil. If Adam was taken from the Lord's mind and Lord created, and Eve was made for Adam, he took the bone, a rib, from the body of Adam, and Eve was made. So from where she was originally from, Adam. So the bride of Christ, waiting for the groom, so where we will go in to the promised land. And who is your promised land? The Lord of my Sabbath. The only one who can call himself, I am the promised land. Walk into me. Come into me. I in you, you in me. And we are one. Amen? So I pray as the Lord bless us to continue the sermon today. The holiest I'm referring to is not the physical tabernacle Moses built in the book of Exodus. That is a prefiguration. The Lord showed all of us how it works. Aaron entered with the presence of Jesus. Moses led the people of Israel, who represents Jesus. Joshua led the people of Israel, who represents Jesus. David united the kingdom, who represent Jesus. Solomon built the temple with the wisdom. That wisdom represents Jesus. Every single servant of God who glorified the name of the Lord, they represent who? The Holy One and the Mighty One of Israel. And that Holy One, that Mighty One, died for you. Died for me. Because of what? My sins. How can I forget? How can you forget? Purification of minds by the way of remembrance. When you remember, you will repent. When you don't remember, you would never repent. Correct? Forgetfulness is the beauty of the Lord. And forgetfulness is a shame of people. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So what we do, we only remember the goodness. And what is the goodness? He changed you. You were a sinner. He saved you. You were filthy. He washed you. Why you don't remember that? If you remember that, we will all come to the holy place perfectly. You know why? When you remember that, your head will go down. Your back, bone, everything will bow because you are burdened. What? Me? This face? Praise the name of the Lord. The name, the angels, and the whole heaven celebrates day and night. How can I utter the name? Who gave you the power? I pray the Lord bless us as we continue. Enter into the holiest place by the blood of Christ. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit. Then what the blood of Christ represents? If you say, oh, bride must be clothed by Spirit, oh, good. I'm a spiritual person. I have spiritual visions. I have spiritual gifts. Can you say, I'm a blood person? I have blood gifts. What is blood? It doesn't sound better. Let me use the word spiritual person. I'm a spiritual person. I'm very spiritual. I'm a very good person. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ. Remember yourself as a body washed in blood. How do you look? Terrible, violent. But how were you born? How were you born? When, as a child, when you were taken out of the womb of the mother, how you looked? Beautifully clothed with a three-suit coat, with shoes, everything. You were naked, covered by blood and water. How come that beautiful moment becomes ugly now? Why? Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, purification of minds by the way of remembrance. A church of God, a God's tabernacle, must remind us that where do we stand. Then when we enter, we receive the peace of God. We receive the beautiful divine touch of the Lord that we belong to Him. Then we have the confidence, assurance that the Lord who called me, He will see me through. The Lord who touched me, He will complete my journey because He is the author of my salvation. Now, with this, Let's come back to the two friends. One of the most beautiful friendship in the Bible, Moses and Aaron. Not just David, Jonathan. Moses and Aaron. Moses was 80, Aaron was 83, and the Lord called them. Aaron was 123, Moses was 120 when they died. So 40 years, they struggled. They suffered. Amen? 40 years. So it's a friendship, generations to remember, because they played their role perfectly without taking one step backward or right to the left. They stood in the place where God planted them. Amen? If not, forget about Joshua leading people of Israel to the promised land. Forget about it. Moses and Aaron, they carried the seeds and they gave it to Joshua. And Joshua carried and gave it to promised land. But that doesn't mean the seeds are saved. They're still scattered. Correct? They were still scattered. So, let's turn our Bibles as we continue from 1 Chronicles 23. 24 to 32. 1 Chronicles 23, 24 to 32. Please prepare the two images I will ask. Mountains and the Torah.
1 Chronicles 23, verse 24 to 32.
Yes.
These were the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses. The heads of the fathers' houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and above. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people, and they may dwell in Jerusalem forever."
Amen.
And also to the Levites, "They shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles of its service. For by the last words of David, thy Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. And because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord,
Amen.
In the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God,
praise the Lord,
both with the showbread and the fine flour, with the grain offering, with the unleavened bread, and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed, with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening.
Amen.
At evening.
Amen.
And at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the set feast, by number according to the ordinance governing them, regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord.
Amen. Please stand, brother. Need your help. Verse 30, please. Verse 30.
1 Chronicles 23, verse 30. To stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening.
Amen. Why they have to thank the Lord? The Lord has not given them anything yet. Why they have to praise the Lord? The Lord has not delivered them into the promised land. When we praise and thank the Lord sees who are his children truly believes that he will provide. Before he provides, remember thy creator before the silver cord is broken. Why? Because it is easy to remember after he established. But it is difficult to remember before he breaks. We all ask the Lord for healing or deliverance or some gift. And we say, "Lord, we remember you." But the Lord says, "Can you remember before I give?" What we say, "How do I know? How can I trust you?" Oh, it's called unfaithfulness, correct? So, the priest of the Lord in the wilderness, the way the Lord was dealing with them was a lesson for the priest of the Lord in the seventh church age, how we should behave wisely in the tabernacle of God. Now, 1 Chronicles talks about David is the one who is making everything. And son of David is doing the same thing now. Amen. Now, let's continue the next chapter, verse 1 to 6, 24.
chapter 24, verse 1 to 6. Now, these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron.
Amen.
The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests.
Yes.
Then David, with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar, and Amielech of the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their father's houses, and 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar.
Amen.
Thus, they were divided by lot, one group as another, for there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of the house of God, from the sons of Eleazar and from the sons of Ithamar. And the scribe Shemaiah, the son of Nethiel, one of the Levites, wrote them down before the king.
Amen.
The leaders, Zadok the priest, Abimelech, the son of Abiathar, and the heads of the father's houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Ithamar.
So the division of Aaron's sons happened by David in 24. In 23, the roles and responsibilities of God's priests describe why David is preparing to build the temple. Amen? But who finished the temple? Solomon. When the Shekinah glory descended, these priests could not enter. I repeat, when the glory descended into the temple, the scripture says it was so mighty, so thick anointing, priests could not enter. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Priests could not enter because the glory was so thick. And the Lord says, I will not give my glory to anyone. Why? What Moses did, where anyone can do it? Are we comparing the glory of the Lord in different mighty glory, small glory, big glory, great glory? There is only one Spirit. And that Spirit is holy. That's what we call Holy Spirit. It's not most Holy Spirit. It's not great Holy Spirit. Holy is holy. Almighty is almighty. We have no wisdom to make it up or make it down. Who are we? So, here Chronicles represents what happened generations after Moses and Aaron died. That is why I want to start with David. Because David, prophet, shepherd, king, prince, warrior, also a priest. Because he also offered sacrifices. A very unique character in the Bible. No one can replicate what David did. And that's why in the book of Revelation, Jesus identified him one last time that he is the Son of Man by saying, I am the root and offspring of David. Amen? And that David is the one who committed sins, who killed Uriah. And that David is the one who fell miserably. But God says, what are you going to do? Lord, I know David did these 10 mistakes. I have proof. I took video. I can show it to you. Oh, very good. David, a man after my own heart. What God said? David, a man after my own heart. No, God, okay, let me try. Abraham, he was laughing when you told him you would give a promised son. I found all the mistakes. He said Sarah is his sister. You see, these are the 10 mistakes Aaron made. I took video, I'm showing you. Oh, Abraham, my friend, is there anything I will hide from you? What? God, I'm showing you all the proof. Why you can't curse your sons? And who are you? Which intent we are speaking? Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed on Calvary. And when it was shed, he said, forgive them, for they did not know what they are doing. Son of David, do we have Christ in our life? Do we truly have this desire to embrace our faith like him? Let's continue. A living way. What is this new living way? Let's take a figurative example. Let's say Brother Clement and me are here. The Lord says, two of you deliver this Bible to Sister Zoe. So we are walking. Along the way, I die. But Brother Clement is still there. He can carry the Bible. So the Lord sent Brother Joshua to help. And both of you go and deliver the Bible to Sister Zoe. The work is done. Amen? Can I say, Lord, I walk 2 kilometers. I should be the one to deliver the Bible. But my brethren, when the Lord gave you a task, your life is complete. Because He won't give to anyone. The Lord won't give His glory to anyone. His glory is in His work. If at all the Lord blessed you, do a tiny little work. Your life is complete. You can beat your chest and say, Lord, gave me this work. Praise the Lord. The light belongs to Him. The glory belongs to Him. The fruit belongs to Him. Even your life belongs to Him. Aaron died in between. Let's say this is Mount Hor. This is where he died, right? He died here at the altar. Because Lord was speaking with him and Moses. And Moses took his garment and put on Eleazar. After the death of Aaron, Eleazar must do the duties of Aaron. That duty, that work is life. Not the people. Do you hear me? Redemption is a work, life. Deliverance is a work, life. It was living. People were on and off. But that work of God was a living sacrifice. And the Lord said, I will finish what I start. Author of salvation. Now, David presents the situation of priest, Levites. There is a segregation, right? That's why I want to show you the segregation. The division. But it's not division. It's not division. The Lord shows how He sanctify, consecrate, anoint, and how He make inner chamber, outer chamber. So, false tabernacle, for example, that is outer court. This is inner court. Listen, take an example. People sitting here, things are stored outside. Children play outside. When they grow up, when they have the maturity, when they have the wisdom, when they accept the Lord as my Savior, they will open the door, enter into the holiest with assurance and confession, I'm a sinner and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to be baptized in His name. Then that child grows up and comes and sit as a grown up spiritual adult man, woman. Amen?
Amen.
Inner chamber, inner court. Do we have a desire to move inside to the inner court of the Lord? Where we can see Him face to face in spirit. Where He can speak to us plainly. My son, do this, don't do this. My daughter, don't worry, I can comfort you. The Lord wants to speak. But do we have time to listen? Most of the time, we are like, you know, sounding brass. Always make noise. Spend 1 hour in prayer. And throughout 1 hour, we keep on ask. And the Lord says, can I? It's a one-way road. No. You receive strength in silence and quietness by wow. The still voice will be heard when you are in silence. He speaks to you. Now, let's continue, brother. Number 27. Let's see what the Lord spoke to Moses. 27, 12 to 23. Numbers 27. So now I'm going back to Moses. First Chronicles showed what David did. Because David is preparing to build a temple. Remember this, my brethren. God told David, build a sanctuary for me. Yes? Because of that, David is doing all of this. God told Moses, deliver my people for me. Because of that, Moses is doing this. Do you see, both the servants of God, they have a task. And they are doing it. David continued from where Moses left. Moses continued from where Abraham left. Correct? So, it's like they are running a relay. One runner runs and passes the baton to second. He runs, he dies, passes to third, keeps on. But that baton, whatever the Lord wants to pass, it will be relayed at the appointed time of life. So read, brother, number 27 from verse 12 to 23. God bless you.
Verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before your eyes. These are the waters of Meribah.
Amen.
At Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in,
Praise the Lord.
The congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit.
Amen.
And lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. At his word, they shall go out, and at his word, they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation.
Amen. Read from 19 again. From 19 again, until 23.
Verse 19.
Yes.
Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight.
Amen.
And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim.
Amen.
At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hand on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses.
Amen. This time, brother. Why Eleazar? Why before Eleazar? Where do we stand now? Numbers 27. Aaron died at Mount Hor. The garment of high priest is given to who? Eleazar. Now, think about this. Moses cannot do this without high priest. Do you hear me? Moses cannot do this without high priest. Eleazar had to be there. And Joshua need to stand before Eleazar, not before Moses. Read the scripture very clearly. And set him before
Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight.
And 22.
So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation.
Amen. Turn to 34 and wait for me, brother. Chapter 34. 34 verse 1. Wait for me. So now, Aaron died, garment given to Eleazar, and Moses is relying on Eleazar for sacrifices, for serving the people, and now Joshua stood before who? Eleazar. Why? There is only one high priest. At any point of time, one high priest. The Urim Thummim inside the breastplate. The 12 stones are there inside the Urim Thummim, the foot, which talks about the Lord's counsel, the Lord's guidance, the Lord's decision in their life, the perfect will. Urim Thummim, lights and reflections, perfection. There are so many meanings to it. But for us, something inside the breastplate of judgment, and it comes forth and it speaks life. Last Sunday, the title was Urim Thummim. And we meditated on Nevi'im Keturim. And we'll go deeper today by God's grace. But before that, I want us to listen to this border of how Moses draw the border even without entering the promised land. You see how beautiful it is. God took Moses to the top of the mountain, Abarim, unto Nebo, and told Moses, look into the plain. It was not a tour. God is not a tourist guide. He had not done anything without a cause. So Moses went to the top of the mountain. He could see far. Amen? Why we say spiritually, Lord, take me to higher ground? Why? The spirit of truth can give you discernment. You will see afar that no flesh can see. The Lord spiritually takes you to higher ground and you will see what's happening to my life. Oh, I have to be careful. Discernment. Amen. But that border, I want us to focus on this like a prison. Read from 34 from verse 1, brothers. Numbers 34 from verse 1. There is the boundaries of Canaan, the promised land.
Then the Lord, Numbers 34, chapter 34, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries.
Amen.
Your southern border shall be from the wilderness of
Zin,
along the border of Edom.
Yes.
Then your southern border shall extend eastward toward the end of the South Sea.
Amen.
Your border shall turn from the southern side of the ascent of Akerbim, continue to Zin, and be on the south of Kadesh Barnea.
Amen.
Then it shall go on to Hazar Adar, and continue to Esmon.
Amen.
The border shall turn from Esmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea.
Yes.
As for the western border, you shall have the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border.
Amen.
And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath.
Please read 7 and 8 again.
7. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor.
Amen.
From Mount Hor you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath.
Amen.
Then the direction of the border shall be towards the Dead.
Yes.
The border shall proceed to Zephron, and it shall end at Hazar Anan. This shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Anan to Shechem.
Yes.
The border shall go down from Shechem to Riblah, to the east side of Ain, and the border shall go down and reach to the eastern side of the sea of Kinnereth.
Mm.
The border shall go down along Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea.
Amen.
This shall be your land with its surrounding borders, boundaries.
Please wait, brother. Verse 7 and 8 says, the northern border will point to Mount Hor, where Aaron died. Mount Hor. The high priest, the first high priest, died at Mount Hor. And Moses is drawing the boundary. And he says that Mount Hor will serve as the northern border, the pointing to the northern border. In the time that we live in, the king will come from which direction? King of the north, right? Why? When the Babylonian kingdom took over Israel, from which direction they came? South? Why? The Lord will guide us. Let's take, this is the promised land. I can say, or this direction, go all the way unto the curtain, that is your this border, or this is your that border, like a small, tiny box. But Moses, by the grace of God, the Lord is telling Moses, this is the border of your promised land. Something similar happened in the same way. God was talking to Noah, build the ark, these are my dimensions, length, width, breadth, height. God spoke to Noah. Now God speaks to Moses. This is the land. Let's build the territory. He told him, this is the borders. This is how I will build my nation. Because people of Israel, they were not a nation. Correct? First Chronicles talks about nation of Israel. King David. Numbers talks about wilderness of Israel. No nation, no king. Correct? Mount Hor is where Aaron died. And what is the last verse? Jordan, read me, brother. Verse 12, read this.
The border shall go down along the Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with its surrounding boundaries.
Yes. Please continue from 13 to 18.
Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the 9 tribes.
Amen.
And to the half tribe.
Yes.
For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half tribe of Manasseh,
yes,
has received its inheritance.
Praise the Lord.
The 2 tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side of Jordan, across from Jericho eastward toward the sunrise.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, these are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance.
Praise the Lord.
Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for inheritance.
Praise the Lord. 17 again.
These are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance. Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun.
Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Now you see, when Moses laid hands to pray for Joshua, Joshua stood before who? Eleazar. Joshua stood before Eleazar the priest, and God speaks to Moses in Numbers 34, seven chapters later, after the borders are drawn, the Lord tells Moses, these two men will divide the land for the inheritance. Who are those people? Eleazar has a name, Eleazar the priest. Eleazar is addressed as a priest, my brethren. This is very deep. Joshua was addressed as son of Nun. Son of Nun. You can also say, not just N-U-N, N-O-N-E. You are no one, I'm none. Correct? You have nothing without the Lord. I am none. Whatever I have without the Lord, I consider dumb. But let's think about Eleazar. Moses is listening to God, and God tells Moses, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun. Do you understand what do you mean by God called you by name? Who called the names? Moses? The people themselves? Who called the name? God. God says, Moses, these are the names of the men who will divide the land for my inheritance. And God says, these are the names. Eleazar the priest. Joshua, the son of Nun. Did Moses recommend? Did Moses propose the Lord? Did Moses beg the Lord? Moses knew nothing until the Lord reveals to him. That is why he is called the humble servant of mine, and there is no one in the face of the earth like my servant Moses. Because he tells the Lord, thou knowest Lord, I don't know Lord. We had one whole sermon on this. Why? To come to this point. Moses didn't decide anything. Didn't do anything. He only asked, you are faithful. May you bless their children. May you deliver them as they go in, go out. What do you mean by go in, go out? The high priest, Jesus Christ, he entered into the holiest. And because he wanted to drag all of us into the holiest. Amen. But he descended into Sheol. Can you follow him? There was his fervent disciples told Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Oh, son of man has no place to lay down his head. He said this, right? Can we follow him wherever he goes? After resurrection, a woman tried to touch him. What he said? Don't touch me, woman. I go to my father, your father, my God, your God. I need to be clean, holy. Don't touch me. Did he say that? So can you follow him wherever he goes? Follow the ark. What does it mean? The ark as a message for the people who follow. Correct? Nothing above the ark, nothing beyond the ark, nothing less than the ark of the covenant. Whatever the Lord had spoken concerning you, that's it. Whatever the Lord had not spoken concerning you, it is none of your business. Focus on the Father's business. Amen? Do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left. Focus on the part of the word that lives in you. Correct? Why God told Moses, Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun? Why son of Nun? Now, let's turn to, is it visible to all, or do you want to turn off the lights? Is it visible? Can you pass me the laser light? Let's focus carefully observe, because I have three pictures zooming in. Starting from a very high level overview, I want you all to focus on the locations of the mountains where God performed very key important events. Amen. Mountains that we read in Torah and Gospel, old and new. Amen. So this is Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and we all know what happened in this mount. The Ten Commandments, as we read in the scripture, so many things happened near Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb holds a very special place in the scripture. But from this place, Mount Hor is here. Correct? This is Mount Horeb and this is Mount Hor. They are not the same mountains, although they may sound similar. But you can simply remind yourself Mount Sinai, because Mount Horeb sometimes is also called Mount Sinai. So Mount Sinai and Mount Hor. So from this picture, I want to zoom in this particular portion. Because what we see here is a wilderness map, like how the Lord led the people of Israel in such a way that they won't reach the place in the quickest possible way, but rather they'll be forced through fire, they'll be tested, they'll go through trials, persecution, sufferings, so that they can hold on to the salvation. Because the Lord is all about long-suffering. He don't care what you complain to Him, correct? 40 years of absolutely fantastic leadership by Moses and Aaron, in a way that they would never put their intelligence into place. They would never put their wisdom in place. And they followed God like a small child, converted to be like children. They went through all the mistakes, all the failures. Can we say Moses and Aaron were the worst leaders the Bible ever recorded? So 40 years seem to be so long to you. How many years King Saul ruled? Tell me. How many years King Saul ruled? How many years David ruled? How many years Solomon ruled? 40, 40, 40. 120. So 120 years is not big. No. This time we have nation. We are a kingdom. We have walls. We have temple. But that is wilderness. Nothing to boast. Absolutely nothing to boast. We are just sojourners, going here and there. Some of them are wanderers. Clueless. 40 years of wilderness seem to be shame. But 40 years of kingdom of Saul, okay. David, okay. Solomon, okay. We have temple, we have city. The Lord exalted us. What happened? The Lord allowed all things to be destroyed again. Temple was destroyed. They were again scattered back into the business, wilderness. Story of our life. The Lord shows you everything, give you everything, and we say, wow, seems I'm not a normal person. It seems I'm very special by the Lord. And the Lord will scatter you again. This pattern will repeat over and over and over and over again. Why? He is the same yesterday in the wilderness, today in the seventh church age, and forever. He is the same. His righteousness is unwavering. Amen? Look at this journey. God had a purpose in every single train stop. If you consider wilderness as a long train of multitude, Moses is a train driver going wherever he wants in a crazy way, going right turn, left turn, U-turn, to make sure they delay for 40 years. The Spirit of the Lord was leading Moses, not to the wrong direction, but to give time to the people. More time. People need more time. If you want to rush things, just close your eyes. Think about what if the Lord judged you when you were a sinner? What if the Lord judged you at the worst point of your life? You would not be sitting here. So the Lord has to wait for you, but you wait for none. We don't want to be the son of that none. We want to be son of none. A servant of God, Joshua, who do not desire anything. Amen? Why the Lord has purposes? Look at this. If I zoom in, Mount Hor is here, Mount Nebo is here. This is the distance Moses took without his friend. The same way David had to take on his life without Jonathan. Do you think was it easy for him? Hey, You know, my friend Jonathan, he lived for me and he killed himself. Funny guy. A fool. David was mourning even more than any of his family members. He said the love of Jonathan was far better than anything, even more than the love of woman. Who? A man said this. That much he loved Jonathan, because Jonathan gave his life for David. Not just that. He gave his royal... He was a prince, right? He's a son of Saul. He gave everything to David. Keep my garment, keep my armor, keep my kingship, take everything, you're my friend. All I need is the friendship of David. Correct? He put on his garment upon David. Aaron died, his garment was passed to who? Eleazar. Before Jonathan died, he gave everything to David. His robe, his armor, David gladly received it. Their relationship was knitted in love. Death of Aaron, I'm telling you, was not easy to Moses. It can't be easy. Why? Moses had to suffer. The same way Apostle Paul been through all things, to embrace the fellowship of sufferings. But still, no one can stop Moses. Remember this, no one can stop Moses. Did the Lord stop Moses from entering promised land? When the Lord promised him? Tell me. When the Lord told Moses, you will step into the promised land. When he said, my children will enter the promised land. Amen. Now, you see, if I zoom in this picture here, death of Aaron is here below the Dead Sea. It is very easy to remember the biblical map. Let me give you some clue. This V shape, Red Sea and the Gulf, when the Persian gathered his kings here, this is how they were spending most of the time here, keep on circling around here and there. But if you go up, you just draw a very big V. It's like a inverted big mountain. It's nothing but climbing the mountain from one slope, go to the peak of Mount Sinai, get the Ten Commandments, then climb down. Because if you invert this picture, you will see a big mountain upside down. I showed you last Sunday. Even for a small, tiny Israel, it is here. It's here. It's easy to remember the map. From Egypt, keep this mountain shape. From Egypt, they came all the way down Mount Horeb. Then they keep on rolling here and there. Then they climbed up all the way to Mount Hor. Then didn't stop. They climbed up to all the way to Mount Nebo. Correct? The map of Exodus was a painting by the Lord Almighty. He took them where he wanted. He had them where he wanted. Because they were subject to the free will. But there is one who is the perfect will of God, our Lord and Savior. Now, you remember this map. Climbing the mountain one slope and going up other slope. Here, Mount Hor and Mount Nebo. If I zoom in here. From the death of Aaron, this point, Moses had to walk this journey. But Aaron died in 40th year. Which year Moses died? Around the same year. Because Moses was 120 when he died. Aaron was 123. So, Moses and Aaron, they died quite fast. And they also made the fastest journey in the history of Exodus map. You see, within a year, they moved from here to here, correct? Straight to the point. 4,000 years of prophecies, preparation, promises for Jesus to be born, for Jesus to be killed. He fulfilled everything in one day on Calvary, correct? 4,000 years of preparation, your Savior, the High Priest, He gave Himself in one single day. Third day, He arose. Long waiting, quick result, correct? Just like that, like a lightning strike the earth. Just one day, He fulfilled all the promises, correct? When the high priest died, the first high priest died, Moses walked all the way to Nebo, and Moses died here. So what God tells Moses? Your life is not over until I say over. Amen? Who owns your life? Him. Who owns your body? Him. Why all these young people in this nowadays, they harm themselves? why they take their lives and jump from the building. It's a sad, striking evil we could that we see in all the countries. Mind is breaking. People are breaking themselves, hurting themselves. You know, in depression, in harming, it's actually breaking my heart. Sometimes I see the reason I can't stop crying. Why? Small child, why? People don't realize that their life belongs to Him. The body belongs to Him. You have no power to do anything against your body because you are not the owner of your life. You are not the owner of your body or your life. There is one who owns you. As I speak, all of us, if you don't have the fundamental understanding, He owns you. Only then you can enter here. If you own yourself, you would never enter the Holy Spirit. Never. Our body may come in like a dead meat, but there is no spirit in it. Moses walked here. What he did here, he looked at the borders, Numbers 34, and he drew the map of how the promised land will be. And he mentioned Mount Hor as a north point of border, right? Dead Sea and Sea of Galilee. Remember these two names. It's very easy, right? Mount Hor, Dead Sea, Mount Nebo, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee. Just look at this picture. You could see something beautiful here. This portion is the most active area of the ministry of Jesus, correct? Sea of Galilee, Mount Carmel, Mount Tabor. The Lord was here. He was walking everywhere. Nazareth, Capernaum, Bethlehem, Jerusalem. Here. For you to remember, Dead Sea, after the death of Aaron, there's a big Dead Sea. And Moses walked along the shore. He reached Mount Nebo. But this line is Jordan, River of Jordan, right? River of Jordan. Joshua crossed the River of Jordan. Elisha crossed the River of Jordan. Crossing the River of Jordan is so important. We sing songs. I'll see you on the other side. Amen. Now, Moses died here and he saw all the places. Now, I want to zoom in. Now, this yellow color box, I zoom in here. Okay? I hope you're all following me. The green color box is the zoomed version here. And this yellow color box, I'm zooming in here. Okay? Focus on four people. Moses, Aaron, David, Jesus. I will start from here. Mount Nebo, death of Moses. Correct? The end of the train of Moses. The last stop of Moses, the big train. He stopped the train and the driver changed. But Moses, he saw everything and he put the borders. And he told to Eleazar and Joshua, God call your names and do this. Amen? Moses did not call the names. God called the names. Now, from here, whatever Moses see, remember when God promised Abraham, you just look at the stars and count the stars. Your descendants will be like as these stars. And Aaron sees the sky. Wow, so beautiful. Not physically, but literally deep in his spirit. Amen? Now God takes Moses to the top of the mountain and see him. So, can you see all the plains? Yes, Lord, I can see. This is the promised land for my children, but you won't enter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for using me until my last breath. Praise the Lord. Moses didn't complain. Now, because he knows, the Lord knows best. The Lord brought him to here. Correct? Mount Tabor is the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember what the Lord did. He brought three disciples and he transfigured in front of them. He showed his mighty garment change with lights and no such a presence. And the three witnessed. And Moses and Elias were there. Peter was so smart about it. Oh, let me build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Elias, one for Moses, because I'm very smart. And the Lord said, keep silent. Because there is always only one tabernacle. Amen. Moses, Elias, as we read in scripture, appeared unto Mount of Transfiguration here. But when Moses saw all these places, Mount Moriah, what do you see here? How many of you remember Mount Moriah? This is the place Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac. near to the place, there is this Golgotha, the place of skull, where your Savior, my Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Life, was killed for your sin, my sin. Purification by the way of remembrance. And Solomon was also called to build the temple for sacrifice unto the Lord. And it's all happened around this region. Not around the region, approximately. Let's take the blessed inspiration, approximately. Transfiguration and Mount Moriah is here. And if you go down Mount Gilboa, this is where, I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 31. Philistines fought against Israel and they chased them and they killed all. Who died? Saul, Jonathan. Saul, who loved David, died. Jonathan, who loved David, died. Where? Near Mount Gilboa. Why? Philistines fought and the Lord gave them victory. Because no one can defeat God's anointed. The Lord needs to give up. When I say give up, the Lord needs to permit it to happen. Nobody can kill Saul if the Lord did not permit it. Because Saul also took it upon himself. David never laid his hand upon Saul. Amen? Solomon did not speak evil against the father. You could see the pattern. David did not simply get blessing. He passed the blessing to his son. He taught the son how to walk. And Mount Gerizim, this is where Moses tells, when you have crossed the promised land, how? When Moses knows he won't cross. Moses says, when you have crossed the river of Jordan, go to the other side, bless my people on that mountain. Why not now? Come on, Moses, you are with us. Just let's do it now. Moses says, the Lord has an appointed time of life for his children. After you have crossed the promised land, go to the mountain, Mount Gerizim, and bless my people. Do we really want to rush things in our life? Remember this. The one who led the people of Israel for 40 years, he tells the children and the leaders, after you complete the work of the Lord, then the Lord would bless you. Tell me, when Moses blessed the children of Israel, before the tabernacle was built or after the tabernacle was built? After. He saw all the works that were done according to what the Lord said. Moses was glad, rejoicing, and he blessed the people. It's not Moses. God blessed the people through Moses after the work was done. Your life is not over until it is over. Never ever try to run before the ark. Amen. We follow the ark. If we want to finish our life as a faithful servant of God, learn from Aaron and Moses. We should die first. Then the Lord would come and say, my servant, live for me, died for me, serve for me. He is your friend who gives you good report. Mount Gerizim, I want you all to meditate on your own this week. You would be surprised how the Lord works. Because it did not happen over time. They took time to go there. And they blessed the people at the mountain as Moses commanded. There was a time, there was a place. It's called appointed time of life in the appointed land which God had chosen. Now go down. Mount Olivet, very famous mountain, has become a tourist spot. People make money, but they don't know what they are doing, right? How critical this place is. Jesus prayed a very important prayer where he surrendered to the will of the Lord near that region. And David fled from the enemies when they were chasing near Mount Olivet. Scripture says David was weeping and crying. So what we do? Hey, I'm a faithful follower of Christ. My Lord will come to the Mount Olivet, okay? He will come. He will come and deliver us. The mighty Redeemer, deliverer. See, David cried. Jesus cried. Do you remember? David wept. Jesus wept. Do you remember? But we only remember mighty divine victories. We don't remember valleys, correct? We don't remember the valleys of Moses. We don't remember the valleys of David. We don't remember the valleys of Aaron, but we remember the goodness of David, goodness of Moses, goodness of Aaron, because we want that good, but we don't want the fellowship of sufferings. The Lord says, the one who is counted faithful for little things, he'll be counted faithful for great things. The one who always aims for great things, you would remain unfaithful because you can't appreciate the Lord when he is restoring. But you want the Lord to complete the restoration before you come and dance. But that doesn't make us as a builders of the wall. Because enemies are also witnessing the wall. What is the difference between God's children and God's enemies? God's children, their hands are used for the work of the Lord when one hand was carrying the weapon. What is the weapon? Unity. Not the spear, not the sword. Unity. Hold on to one another when you work. The enemy can't come and take us separately, correct? Now look at this beautiful, beautiful another V shape. Mount Nebo, Moses saw all of this. Mount Tabor, Transfiguration, Mount Moriah, Abraham, Isaac, sacrifice in the past, Solomon Temple, Golgotha, Calvary, Jesus, Philistines, Israel, Saul died, and Mount Gerizim, blessing of the people, and Mount Olivet. So now the whole world is looking at Olivet. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? When the Jews' blindness will be healed, when the Lord would show himself mighty to them. Now, let's go to the second image. Torah. Let's remember Torah. Yes. Just follow me. I will go from top to bottom. Tanakh. I spoke about it last Sunday. Remember three letters. T, N, K. Because Tanakh is not a new name. It's just an abbreviation or acronym of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. Together, Tanakh. T, N, K. Okay? Just put A in between, T and A and NK, Tanakh. So as I said, there are 39 books in Tanakh. In scripture, what we hold on to now, 66, 39, 27. 3 times 9, 27, as we easily remember. 66, amen? But that 66 books, the Lord allowed this to be compiled. When? 300 years after the crucifixion of the Lord. But what happened to Jews in those periods? So for them, they stick to 39, correct? So Tanakh, the holy scriptures, the Jewish Bible, Torah 5, Nevi'im 21, Ketuvim 13, and the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, these five was done in those mountains I showed you, correct? Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, a different mount God took Moses to keep him with him for him to write the books. And Mount Nebo, Moses said, goodbye, it's been a pleasure to working with you all and see you on the other side. He was taken by God. And the life of Moses is over here, Torah, teaching of Moses, law. And Nevi'im, 21 books. The former prophets, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, 1-2, Kings 1-2. Because Samuel is very important, my brethren. Samuel is very important. He is the one who ordained Saul and David. From Judges, the kingdom of Israel starts and Samuel sits in between, the prophet of the Lord. And how he came? The mother prayed with burden and she said, I will dedicate my son to you, Lord. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel and the 12 minor prophets, I don't want to call them as minor or major. A prophet is a God servant, a prophet is a vessel of God. But although they have such a terminology, but we can embrace the prophets of the Lord. There is no small, no great, no major, no minor. Every single work of the Lord proclaims the greatness of God, great God of heaven. We use the name that other 12 prophets, from Hosea all the way to Malachi. I'm not focusing here, so I'll skip this. I focus on the Ketuvim, the writings, starting from Psalm, Proverbs, Job. We know who wrote it. Psalm, David, Proverbs, Solomon, but there are some other writings also included. Job, we also know the timeline goes far before, far behind, near the timeline of Abraham. And Songs of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther. But most surprising thing is, Daniel is parked here. But we all know how mighty the Lord used Daniel in the Babylonian captivity, in interpreting King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And that dream echoes all the way to the book of Revelation. Five kingdoms: Assyrian, Babylonian, Persian, Greek, Roman, and the last kingdom, not revealed yet. We are standing there, the last round of the, you know, of the race. Now, Daniel is here. This is the 70th week of Daniel is there, correct? But Jews are not revealed to the understanding of Jesus Christ is the Holy One. Jesus Christ is the Mighty One. But rather, they look at him as a Messiah, or rabbinic teacher, or prophet. But they are not revealed that he is the one with whom, for whom, in whom they are created. They will come to know because they are God's children. Gentiles, they receive mercy in this camp. When the kingdom of Israel fell, Gentiles, all of us, we receive scripture. Correct? The breadcrumb was thrown to that woman sitting on the floor. You and me. We were not on the table. We are like the son of Saul who is lame. And David said, come my son, sit with me in this table. Join the feast. And we are those people, Gentiles, who receive grace and mercy by the blindness of Jews. Apostle Paul beautifully described it. God is no respecter of persons. Talmud and Midrash. Commentative and interpretive writing. That is how these teachings are studied in the synagogues, Jewish synagogues. They have weekly feasts, Sabbath, and they read scripture in a way that they match the timeline. Ketuvim and Nevi'im are mainly read every week. If you have Tanakh Bible, you will see they have fixed readings. Which is very similar to what Quran does, and other denominational churches, they also try to embrace it to make a religious spirit. They completely polluted it. Now, look at this. Moses has a written Torah, Midrash, and oral Torah, Mishnah, which has Gemara, which means, if I may put it correctly, if Book of Psalm is a book, the chapters are Gemara. There are chapters within the book, correct? There are multiple chapters. So Gemara is like a chapter within Mishnah. Oral Torah is called Mishnah, verbally spoken, or teachings, commentative. But written one is what Moses left when he died. Whatever he wrote was kept for generations, then it went to so many translations. Now, what Jesus said, John 8:58, Jesus said, when people gathered with him, he said, before Abraham was I. You know how sometimes our Savior, he provokes people. Not with the intention of provoking, but just speaking the truth. Because he's like, before Abraham was I. I'm not lying. It was me, the visible presence of the Lord Almighty, the Word of God, the complete manifestation of God's Word. I was, you know, the visible presence of the Almighty. It was me. And all the people, they tried to kill him. Why? Do you know why? God said something about Moses, which also confounds people. You know what he said in Deuteronomy? Someone read this, Deuteronomy 34:10. Please read what God said about Moses. People are not confounded by their own wisdom. They're confounded by misunderstanding God's wisdom.
Deuteronomy 34:10. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face.
Amen. Now read the other verse, brother. 1 Kings 3:12. You see how the Lord's word can be misleading if you are not led by Spirit.
1 Kings 3:12. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you.
He told this to King Solomon. Now you please read Matthew 12:42. What the Lord said.
Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here.
Amen. Please be seated, brother. God told there is no prophet like Moses after this. Good, right? People would think, Moses. there will not be any prophet like Moses after this. Then God spoke about Solomon. Solomon, you want wisdom? There will not be any king who is wiser than you, not before, not after. So, the wisest king title given to Solomon. A prophet whom like no one will be like him, given to Moses. Then Jesus comes to that people who hold on to this Torah, this synagogue, and tells them, forget about Moses, before Abraham was I. Then they say, where is the stone? Let me kill him. Forget about King Solomon. You think he is wiser? There is one who is greater than him standing here. It's me. He was not provoking. In order for him to be crucified, he will have to speak the truth. To reveal the truth to them, do not worship Moses. Do not worship what Solomon built. The one who created them standing here in front of thee. He was speaking the words of life. I'm telling you, when the Lord appears on the mount, whatever he spoke to them, people will come back to their senses. They will remember purification of minds by the way of remembrance. Then they will repent. Lord, we did not know that it was you. Forgive us, Lord. Then the repentance will give them salvation. They will be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because they have been through in the land of Egypt when the blood was applied on the doorpost. And the blood of Jesus not applied to their hearts yet. Because of that, you and me are saved, and we are holding 66 books in our hands. How grateful you should be. They would have destroyed all if they remained powerful. They would have destroyed all the enemies of God if they remained powerful. If they destroyed all, who would save us? We say, Lord, you are faithful. Think about what the Lord did for you. He gave up his children for slaughter, captivity, slavery, for the salvation of you and me, Gentiles. And now our time is coming to an end. Why? The Lord is focusing on Israel. My brethren, anything happens to Israel will be reflected throughout the whole world. Why? Israel is the apple of the eye of the Lord. When they become the trembling pot, we should be prepared. The Gentile age will come to an end. Grace will come to an end. How prepared we should be. This much prepared we should be. Enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. If not, none of us can serve him. Now, I showed the pictures. The rest I will show next week. We'll close it. Now, let's turn our Bibles. Please help to read, brother. I want to read a series of verses before I summarize. Matthew 27:51.
Matthew 27:51.
Amen.
Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split.
Yes. When this happened, when the Lord died for you and me, and the veil was torn, which veil? Which tabernacle? How it happened? Who built it? You should remember Torah. You should remember Exodus. You know, remember this, how beautiful the Lord is. You can remember Korah as the man who fought against the man who wrote Torah. Korah is the man who went against Torah, not Moses. Remember this. What is Torah? Holy scriptures. Jewish Bible. And Moses is writing. The one who is disturbing Moses is not disturbing Moses. Is disturbing Torah. And what is your name? Korah. Very sound similar. Of course, Antichrist, Jesus Christ. Very similar. Jochebed, God's glory. Ichabod, God's glory departed. Correct? A subtle shift in the Lord's way of understanding will lead to death spiritually. The book of Revelation ends by saying, if anyone adds anything above this or take anything away from this, it didn't say, I will show you mercy, forgiveness, 70 times. The Lord says, every plague, whatever you can read here, is free for you. Where is mercy in the book of Revelation? Because God won't show mercy, it is against his righteousness. Because book of Revelation is judgment. But you should see it in the Exodus. There was judgment. For us to learn how the Lord functions. Torah was challenged by Korah, and the Lord removed Korah. Torah stood firm. Goliath challenged David, and Goliath was removed. David stood firm. Joshua, no man can come against thee. You will stand firm. Be courageous. Now, let's read the three verses we close today. Exodus 28:33-35. Four verses. Please bear with me. Exodus 28:33-35. Yes.
And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, all along its hem, and bells of gold between them all around, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and his sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die.
Amen. Now read Leviticus 16:1-2. Let's follow the scripture, how the information, the message flows. It's like a river. It's like a river. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 first.
Leviticus 16, verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat.
Amen. Now, let's just stop here. When God said, don't touch the mountain, for why? I will appear on the top of the mountain, and for that reason, tell the people, don't touch the mountain, they will die. I can't take responsibility. The Lord said, I gave you the warning. And now the Lord tells Aaron, remember what happened to two sons? Yes, Lord. A lesson that I would never forget. Okay. Now listen to me. Do not enter at all times. Read this again, brother. Verse 2. Read this again.
And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat.
Amen. Why the Lord says all times? The Lord who loves his children continually. In that time, the Lord gave specific instruction for the people to prepare themselves to see how faithful, how sincere they are. Amen. When they are fully prepared, they came. They came with offering, they came with sacrifices, they came with fasting, whatever. But the Lord wanted them to be prepared. He wanted them to exercise their faith because he gave them instruction. Not all times, only when you are prepared to receive his word. Amen. Now, let's read this, brother. In the same Leviticus 16, read this verse 13, please. 13.
Leviticus 16, verse 13. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die.
Lest he die. Why? Now, by God's grace, we will take all this that we read. Like when Jesus died, the veil was torn, there was an earthquake. And when the Lord blessed Moses and Aaron to do all of this, he was teaching them about the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. And there was specific instruction for us to be prepared. Amen. Now, let's read Psalm 28:2. Psalm 28:2.
Psalms 28, verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary.
Amen. We can be seated, brother. Now, after all this is done, the Lord taught a lesson to Aaron and Moses concerning leprosy on the skin. With God's grace, we will continue next week. What is that plague, that sickness, and why the Lord compared that sickness from an individual person all the way to the house of the people? A plague, a sickness that spreads across. And the Lord gave very specific instructions and commandments for the priest to handle it. But I want all of us to remember what we are about to study is not the physical flesh, but as a body of Christ, I want you all to realize that you are part of the body of Christ. You are the branch, part of the vine, and you are part of Him. And when Moses took his hands off, the Lord showed his hand was leprous, and he put it back in his bosom, it became flesh. When Miriam did something against the Lord threw her out and she was leprous. 7 days later, she was put back inside the camp and she after she was healed. Not before she was healed. Why? We will read one passage for today and we close. Let's all stand. The Lord will guide us as we continue next week. It's going to be commentary for us. Leviticus chapter 14, 33. Leviticus chapter 14, 33.
Leviticus chapter 14, 33.
Amen.
And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 34, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in the house, in the land of your possession.
Who put? The Lord put the leprous plague in the land of the possession. The Lord speaks, correct? Continue, please.
And he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house.
Empty the house.
Before the priest goes into it to examine the plague.
Praise the Lord.
That all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to examine the house. And he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appears to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days.
7 days.
And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague has spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague.
Praise the Lord.
And they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city.
Amen.
And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside, all around, and the dust that they scrape off, they shall pour out into an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones.
Those stones.
And he shall take other mortar and plaster the house.
Amen. As you continue, give me a second. What is that mortar? What are these stones? Which house? And what is the sickness? Deeply meditate. Continue, brother.
Now, if the plague comes back.
So it comes again. Yes.
And breaks out in the house.
Breach.
After he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it is plastered.
After.
Then the priest shall come and look.
Watch and pray.
And indeed, if the plague has spread in the house, it is an active leprosy in the house.
True.
It is unclean.
Unclean.
And he shall break down the house. Its
Amen.
Stones, its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place.
Unclean place.
Moreover, he who goes into the house at all, while it is shut up, shall be unclean until evening.
Yes.
And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes. And he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes.
Right.
But if the priest comes in and examines it, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean.
Amen.
Because the plague is healed.
Praise the Lord.
And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water.
Amen.
And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird.
Praise the Lord.
And in the burning water, and sprinkle the house seven times.
Seven times.
And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and the running water, and the living bird, with the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet.
Praise the Lord.
Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field, and make atonement for the house.
Amen.
And it shall be clean.
Amen.
This is the law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment, and of a house, and a swelling, for a swelling and a scab, and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy.
Praise the Lord. This particular chapter, it is so deep that you could see what happens to the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, who decketh herself ready. And as you, as the tabernacle of the Lord, the house of the Lord, in whom he dwells, he looks at every single brick to see if there is a plague, if there is something carrying into the holy tabernacle which was not supposed to carry. What he will do, he will destroy the house, bring it down, tear it down, check every single stone, and he will put it back. The builder of the mansions, the restorer of the paths, the repairer of the bridge. How you do? Break it and you make it. We will continue as the Lord leads. And what the priest did, you know why they did? The man of the house came to the priest. Every man, every woman stood at the door of the tabernacle, came to the high priest, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as an empty child of God. Lord, forgive me. There is something wrong in my heart, something wrong in my mind. I am supposed to be thy tabernacle. I am supposed to be thy house where you shall dwell in. Come and look into my house. Examine the intents and thoughts of my house. See if there is anything filthy, anything abomination, anything plague, leprous that can come out of my skin, because I must be blameless. There should not be any spots on my body. I can't simply have white spots. That is self-exclamation. When Moses came, his face was glowing, not bright spots, glowing. And when that happens, that high priest, Jesus Christ, what we do? We say, Lord, I have the blood of Christ. I will enter into the holiest. But first focus on him entering into you. Can he enter into your house? Can he enter into your house? Can he enter into your heart? Is your heart is ready? No plague inside? No sickness inside? Let the priest have his way. When you sing the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, remember this chapter. The Lord will teach, the Lord will speak to you. Amen. We will continue next week. Praise the Lord. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, the healer, the high priest, the Lord who watch over all of us. Lord, today we pray, not just watch over us. Lord, come inside, O Lord. Welcome to the house. Welcome to the tabernacle. Come inside of me, Lord. Come inside this tabernacle, Lord. We need your help. God of Jacob is my help. We need your help, O Lord. Touch us, Lord. May you bless us, Lord, by examining the intents and the thoughts and ambitions, the desire of our heart. May you take away all the filthiness and throw it away, the tabernacle. May you throw all those sandals away from thy holy presence. We want to stand here as the lame who got healed, as a leprous man, leprous woman who received healing from the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Lord, without you, Lord, we will remain as the people of leprosy spiritually, because our skin has to be the body of Christ, and our skin is the garment that covers the body. That garment cannot have spots, cannot have any sickness. Lord, we pray, may you enter into this house. Check our house. As the scripture says, the words of the Lord washed and purified 7 times. The Lord, we pray, may you bless us to be washed for 7 days. And the 8th day comes, and the new beginning comes, O Lord, we shall be ready. We shall be ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Lord, we pray, may you bless the place to be filled with the peace of God all the time, day and night, continually, O Father in heaven. I pray, may the Holy Ghost invite the people to come to the house of the Lord whenever they want, whenever they go through pain and sufferings, whenever they go through challenges. This is the house, this is the home, open for anyone, anytime, for them to come and speak to the Master, for them to come and speak to the Healer, for them to come and speak to the Breaker of Chains, for them to come and have communion with the Ruler of the Feast. We bless the place, may the anointing of the Holy Ghost be with us day and night continually. And may you bless us to do the work in this land for the glory of thy name. But we shall wait, as Joshua said, O ye, all earth, all flesh, be silent in the presence of the Lord. Because God is spirit, we are the true worshippers of God, who worship him in spirit, not in flesh. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We thank you for the place, we thank you for everything. And I thank you for all the problems, all the storms, all the challenges may come. And it will come. There is no life without a battle for the children of God. But Lord, come what may, we have the mighty deliverer who never lost a battle, and we hold on to him, and we hold on to his mighty unchanging hand, and we hold on to the word of the Lord. And Lord, we go before in the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord is all we need. In Jesus' name, we surrender ourselves for thy glory. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.